The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever feel like planning a trip is almost as fun as taking it? Hotel comparisons, restaurant reservations, a perfectly timed itinerary. What if your love of planning travel could actually become a source of income? As a Fora advisor, it can. Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan travel and help others travel well. With best-in-class training, powerful booking tech, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider knowledge, you can confidently build your own travel business on your terms, from anywhere. Every hotel, cruise, and experience you book earns you commission. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred travel partners from iconic brands to boutique gems, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout. The kind of elevated travel experiences most travelers never get. Now's the time to turn your passion for travel into a fulfilling business with Fora. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/advisor. That's foratravel.com/advisor.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Cassie for bringing Ethan's story to my attention. Today's story, all, this bothers me so much. Because the same mistakes keep happening by the family courts that are entrusted to make the right decisions by these children. We saw it a few months back in the Autumn Pereira story. And today is a similar story again. A parent that really doesn't want to have this child, but then doesn't want the other parent to have the child either. When is the selfishness going to stop? When are the family courts going to make the big decisions, the right decisions, and keep the children with a stable and a safe parent? May 2010, Layton, Utah. A 4-year-old boy is forced to spend several months with his mother, who hadn't had custody of the child for about 6 months. Ethan's dad voicing his concerns over the safety of his son in his mother's care. And with good reason too, because in just 10 days, Ethan would die from his injuries after being horrifically abused by his mother and stepfather. This is Ethan's story.
4-year-old Ethan Stacy caught the attention of his new neighbors right away when he moved in 10 days ago.
He was carrying not heavy things but bulky, and he was just a trooper, and I was laughing because it was so cute.
And during the search for him, a lot of that attention shifted to his new stepdad and mom.
She came out of the house and she was crying how, you know, she was a bad mother to let something like this happen. And we all felt sorry for her.
Gone, neighbors say, are the feelings of empathy, replaced by disbelief at what the couple is accused of doing.
I'm so sick to my stomach. I don't see how anybody can do that to anybody, much less a little kid that can barely speak for himself.
Ethan Jonathan David Stacy was born September 22, 2005, at the Fort Stewart Army Base in Georgia, to parents Stephanie and Joe Stacy. Joe worked in the military and Stephanie as an exotic dancer. She allegedly auditioned for Playboy. That was her claim to fame type thing. But she wasn't accepted. The marriage was rocky and the family moved to Florida for a fresh start. However, the relationship didn't improve, and Joe and Stephanie were divorced in late 2009. Joe took custody of 4-year-old Ethan and moved back to his hometown of Richlands, Virginia. Not only was his whole family living there, but also his ex-wife Michelle and their 2 daughters, Ethan's older half-sisters. So not only would Joe have that family support there, but also Ethan would get to spend some time with his sisters. And Joe and Michelle had become friends in the years after their separation, to the point that Michelle would start taking Ethan some weekends to give Joe a break. She even took Ethan with her girls away on a beachside vacation. Joe would find a love again and get engaged to a woman named Becky Elswick. Life was going well. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
After the marriage breakdown, Stephanie moved to Layton, Utah. She would also enter into a new relationship with a man named Nathan Sloop. And Stephanie and Nathan knew each other when they were younger but lost touch. They would find each other again via Facebook. Nathan wasn't a great guy. He had a criminal history with charges including criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, and possession of substances. In 2002, he served 30 days behind bars for drug possession with a 6-month suspended sentence. Nathan also struggled to get a handle on his mental illnesses, not taking his medications correctly and abusing narcotics. It was around the time of the divorce settlement that Stephanie decided she wanted shared custody of Ethan. Now, Joe's family believed that Stephanie didn't actually want custody of Ethan. She simply wanted to hurt Joe. Quote, "It was like Ethan was just a pawn," unquote. Joe fought hard against Stephanie having any access to Ethan. He didn't even want their son talking with his mother. According to the divorce papers, quote, "The mother has abandoned the child. I'm afraid the mother will come and take him and I'll never see him again," unquote. And this is very foretelling with what's to come. However, Judge Smith does not take any of this into consideration, and on April 28, 2010, Judge Smith ruled Ethan to spend until the end of the school year with his mother in Layton. And he was to go in only 2 days' time. This would have been absolutely heartbreaking for not just Joe, but for Ethan as well. He had spent the last 6 months with his dad and his sisters. He obviously didn't want to go and leave Joe. In turn, Joe didn't want to send him, but he also knew the consequences if he didn't. He would risk losing custody of Ethan completely, and no one wanted that. All he could do was reassure Ethan that it was going to be okay. It was only for 2.5 months, and they could talk all the time on the phone. And so, April 30th, 2010, Joe left 4-year-old Ethan with Stephanie and Nathan at the Layton Meadows apartment in Layton, Utah, Nathan promising Joe that he would protect Ethan with his life. Almost immediately, Stephanie was messaging friends that she could not handle Ethan's behaviour and that Joe had brainwashed the boy into hating her. Which is ridiculous to say about a child that young. The kid would have been frightened being in an environment he didn't know, with a woman who seemingly didn't even want him, and with a man who was a complete stranger to him. When Ethan first arrived in Layton, he spoke to his dad every day. However, then the call stopped, and Stephanie started making excuses why Joe couldn't speak to their son. One time, Stephanie told him that Ethan had an allergic reaction to some grapefruit, causing his jaw to basically swell shut. And this obviously worried Joe, but Stephanie wouldn't even let him have a one-way conversation with Ethan. May 10th, 2010, shortly after midnight, Stephanie called Layton police to report Ethan missing, claiming she put him to bed around 11 p.m., then when she went to check on him an hour later, he was gone. Stephanie alleged that in the 10 days he'd been living with her, he'd vanished from the apartment in the middle of the night 5 times. Now, this should have sent up red flags all over the place, because if that was the case, a 4-year-old walking out of the apartment in the middle of the night numerous times in a short period of time, which already, 4-year-olds are typically terrified of the dark. They don't wander far from adults. This story is ridiculous already. And here we go with the Child Abuser's Handbook again, because this is the same story Ariel Sellers' adopted parents tried to spin. But if Ethan did this, why wouldn't you take the steps necessary to stop him from doing this? Extra locks, alarms, anything to keep this baby safe. But what we will soon find out, this story was a load of crap anyway. Regardless, investigators searched the apartment and the immediate vicinity, but no trace of Ethan could be found. They knocked on all the doors of the other apartments in the complex, but no one reported seeing the boy either. It wouldn't take long before Stephanie and Nathan's account of the night fell apart with huge inconsistencies. When further pushed on what happened, both broke down and confessed that 4-year-old Ethan Stacy was dead. Nathan revealed they had buried the child on Powder Mountain, near the Wolf Canyon Trailhead on State Road 158 in Webster County, about a 25-minute drive from their home.
On May 10th, 2010, at approximately 11:55 p.m., Layton Police Department received a call about a missing boy. The child was identified as 4-year-old Ethan Stacy. Ethan's mother said she put him to bed around 9 p.m. When she checked on him later, he was gone. She told officers that Ethan had snuck out of the home on prior occasions. Officers arrived within 5 minutes. They met with the parents, obtained a description of Ethan, and started checking the area to include the apartment grounds, trash receptacles, vehicles in the parking lot, storage shed, and area businesses. Canine units from the Layton Police Department, Davis County Sheriff's Office, and a bloodhound dog from the West Valley Police Department were called to aid in the search. Additionally, officers on scene used thermal imaging and night vision equipment to assist in the search. A countywide attempt to locate was issued for Ethan at 12:35 a.m. Within the first 90 minutes, all Layton Police Department detectives had been notified. Reverse 911 calls were made within a half-mile radius, and the Davis area CART team had been activated. Additionally, a list of known sex offenders within a 1-square-mile radius had been obtained. An endangered person alert was issued in this case due to the child's age, the time lapse, and the elements. The situation did not fit the criteria for an Amber Alert in this case. Amber Alert requires that the child be under 18 years of age, requires a confirmed abduction, evidence that the child is in danger of death or serious bodily injury, and information that can be sent to the public that can help in the apprehension of the child or the arrest of the suspect. Officers from Layton Police Department and Davis Area CART Team, FBI agents, adult probation and parole, as well as Child Protective Services and Davis County search and rescue personnel were assembled. Within 2.5 hours after receiving the call, an additional reverse 911 notification was made, extending that area to 1 mile. By 3:30 in the morning, the initial area was searched thoroughly. Personal contact was made with all the registered sex offenders in the target area. Their homes were searched, and door-to-door canvas of the apartment community was completed. By 5 a.m., additional searches had been done in the area of the apartment. Persons of interest were interviewed, and information was obtained, leading us to the possible burial site in the area of Powder Mountain. This information was attained at approximately 11 a.m. Due to weather and terrain, it was difficult to process this crime scene. The crime scene is currently being processed by Weber County CSI in conjunction with the Layton Police Department. At approximately 5 p.m., a body of a juvenile male matching Ethan's description was discovered at this site.
When officers found Ethan, he'd been wrapped in 8 plastic bags and buried alongside a broken hammer, a shovel head, and a bottle of lighter fluid. Dog food sprinkled over his grave in an attempt to attract animals to further maim this sweet boy's remains. Absolutely no respect for Ethan, and more worried to protect themselves from criminal charges. Ethan's face had been badly disfigured in an attempt to conceal his identity. I guess with that and the animals, I assume Stephanie and Nathan were hoping that Ethan's body would have been so ravaged and damaged that identification would have been impossible. And then they would have been off the hook for any criminal liability. Ethan's autopsy showed third-degree burns to 17.5% of his body, and his cause of death was from a combination of scalding, blunt force trauma, aspiration pneumonia, dehydration, and over-medication. A number of substances was found in Ethan's system, including Xanax, Tylenol, and Benadryl, or given to Ethan at adult doses. Stephanie and Nathan Sloop were charged with aggravated homicide, felony child abuse, obstruction of justice, and desecration of a corpse. Both would enter pleas of not guilty, arguing that this was all an accident. That they were just trying to undo the bad behaviours his father Joe had instilled in him, and to teach the boy how to be a man.
ABC4's Kelly O'Hara is live at the jail with an exclusive interview with Stephanie's best friend of 10 years, Kelly.
Well, Karen, she tells me that she's at a loss for words. And just yesterday, she wrote Stephanie a letter and dropped it in the mail, asking her simply why. Now, the two were best friends for a decade, and now she tells me their friendship is shattered. And she says if Stephanie Sloop is guilty of what she is potentially charged with, then she says she gets what she deserves.
She's done a complete 180 because this isn't the Stephanie I know at all. This isn't the Stephanie any of us know.
Tina Reyes, Stephanie Sloop's best friend, struggles to understand. She says that Stephanie, she has known for 10 years, would have taken the alleged beating for her son and done anything to protect him. Now she's sitting in a jail cell, accused and taking part in her son's murder.
Stephanie's always been there for me. She was, yes, a control freak, and like people say, vindictive and manipulative, but I don't know anybody who isn't.
Tina even has pictures of Ethan Stacy with her daughter. This picture also shows Stephanie looking over the children.
It hurts my heart because I've known this for so long. She's like my sister, but there's no reason for this. There's no excuse. I mean, she'd ever be resentful or anything of her son. She's never said anything negative about having him or anything. She even wanted more kids.
Reyes says it all started to go downhill after the divorce from Ethan's father and this trip to Vegas.
She was in Vegas, and then all of a sudden she was in Utah and madly in love with some guy that I've never even heard of, ever.
Reyes did talk to the 27-year-old accused murderer last week, before she got married, but hasn't spoken to her since, and is now left to wonder.
I don't know if she was on drugs or what could have possibly have happened.
Unbeknownst to Joe, only days after arriving in Utah, Nathan started abusing Ethan. May 5th, 2010... Nathan took Ethan into the bedroom and began slapping and hitting him in the face and head. Ethan's face obviously became red and swollen, and then he started vomiting and became lethargic. He had a fever and was unable to eat. These are all symptoms of a serious brain injury. When Stephanie saw Ethan's injuries, she didn't do or say anything. She didn't get her son any medical help. She would later give her reasonings was because she didn't want Nathan going to jail for child abuse. No, instead, the very next day, May 6, 2010, Stephanie and Nathan got married. While this was happening, Ethan was locked in his bedroom with the handle removed to stop him getting out and to avoid suspicion. After this, the abuse would escalate. Nathan would force him to drink large amounts of food and Kool-Aid over a two-hour period. Stephanie joined in on the abuse by verbally degrading Ethan. Nathan beating this sweet boy so badly that investigators would later find Ethan's blood splattered on his bedroom wall. And all his mother would do to help him was to give him increasingly large doses of pain medication to quieten the boy and to put him to sleep. May 7th, 2010. Stephanie Sloop returned home from Walmart to find Ethan with severe third-degree burns. Nathan claimed the bath water was too hot and that it was an accident. But even though Stephanie would later tell investigators she didn't believe anything her new husband was saying, she did nothing. Stephanie would later claim she was afraid of Nathan. And despite Ethan being covered in serious and painful burns, they didn't take him to the hospital for treatment. You would think after this point, Nathan and Stephanie, for that fact, would back off. Being aware that things had been taken too far now and to allow this little boy to heal some, but no. The disgusting abuse on this four-year-old would continue despite Ethan's grave condition. Stephanie would testify she found feces in Ethan's mouth. Her response to this was to make him brush his teeth until his gums bled. And during the investigation, Nathan admitted to doing this, stuffing feces into Ethan's mouth. But he claimed he wasn't the only one, that Stephanie was guilty of doing the same. The medical examiner also found evidence that Ethan's genitals had been abused. Now, no charges of a sexual nature were included to Nathan's or Stephanie's charges, because there really wasn't any evidence indicating there was a sexual assault and these injuries not being the result of the horrific abuse to the boy. When questioned about the injuries, Nathan would try and explain away as the boy sitting on the toilet seat incorrectly. Now, we know that's not true, but there also wasn't any evidence there was any sexual assault either. May 9th, 2010. Stephanie went out, leaving Ethan alone again with Nathan. When she returned home, Nathan told her Ethan was dead. He'd been in Stephanie's care for a total of 10 days. But instead of calling the police or doing something, anything, to show one ounce of respect for her now-deceased son, Stephanie again chose this man over Ethan, because she didn't want Nathan to go to jail over what he had done to Ethan. The couple then created a plan to dispose of Ethan. Nathan would later claim Stephanie was worried about Ethan being identified by dental records. So Nathan took a hammer, repeatedly smashing the four-year-old's face, disfiguring him beyond recognition and knocking out his teeth. Meanwhile, Stephanie bought two cans of lighter fluid, intending to burn Ethan's body to further conceal his identity. Nathan and Stephanie wrapped Ethan in 8 layers of plastic bags before Nathan disposed of the remains on Powder Mountain. He then brought Stephanie back there for her to say goodbye to him. But then they went on with their lives like nothing happened. They sexted each other before going out to dinner. The next day, Stephanie reported 4-year-old Ethan Stacy missing. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Besides the physical evidence of Ethan's beaten and bloodied remains and the blood evidence in the home, investigators found horrific photos on Stephanie's phone showing Ethan's worsening condition, beginning only days after Joe left him with his mother. One chilling video shows Ethan wearing his pajamas. His cheeks are red and swollen. Ethan speaks directly to the camera, obviously being coached what he is to say. Quote, "I'm having fun with Nathan. He's not scary anymore." Unquote. Ethan is then asked repeatedly who he wanted to live with. Ethan starts crying before saying his mum. In another video, Ethan is covered in bruises, and Nathan can be heard telling Ethan to say he doesn't like his dad, to which Ethan quietly replies, presumably addressing his father for the video to be sent to Joe, quote, "I don't like you much," unquote. The heartache I feel at that. The guilt Ethan must have been feeling not wanting to betray and hurt his dad, but also absolutely terrified of his abuser.
"You're such a good boy. I'd let you."
Prosecutors showed a conference on child abuse prevention some of the evidence they collected in the case against Nathan Sloop, including recordings of 4-year-old Ethan Stacy taken by Sloop himself. It was tough to watch as prosecutors detailed the horrific abuse of Ethan and the personal toll the case took on officers. Ethan Stacy was hit, scalded in a bathtub, and eventually given so much over-the-counter drugs, he died.
The preliminary hearing was held to determine whether there was enough evidence to bring Nathan and Stephanie to trial for Ethan's murder. The defense arguing what happened to Ethan was a tragic accident, caused by over-medication by pain medication. However, the toxicologist testified that what happened to Ethan could not have been caused by the drugs in his system alone, that even though Ethan was dehydrated and that would have increased the effects of the medication, that still wouldn't have caused Ethan to die. The prosecution brought up the fact that in the 11 months leading up to Ethan's murder, Nathan had taken more than 4,000 prescription pills, and it was questioned how someone could even function on that amount of drugs. They said it averaged out to something like 13 pills a day. That is crazy to me. And some of these were quite significant medications, like Xanax and Valium. Ultimately, it would be determined there was enough evidence there to go to trial, and go to trial on capital murder charges, the prosecution making it known they were going to seek the death penalty. But before that could happen, Nathan Sloop accepted a plea deal, pleading guilty to aggravated murder. And as part of his plea deal, the other charges were dropped. Nathan admitted that he didn't get medical help for Ethan because he didn't want to go to jail, but admitted he made mistakes that led to Ethan's death. Nathan Sloop would be sentenced to 25 years to life for the murder of Ethan Stacey. The Utah Board of Prison and Parole recently told Nathan that his first parole hearing won't be for 40 years. This tough stance was one of the reasons Joe agreed for the plea deal going ahead. And if we know anything about parole hearings, the initial hearing is very rarely granted, meaning Nathan most likely won't have any chance of freedom until he's almost 70 years old.
Inside the courtroom, Stephanie Sloop cried. Her husband Nathan appeared to twitch slightly. The couple was told that because it's a potential death penalty case, they'd be getting new lawyers who are qualified to handle it. As he was led out of the courtroom, Nathan Sloop spotted his mother and mouthed the words, "I love you." She declined to comment to reporters. Outside the courthouse, protesters carried signs and demanded justice for Ethan Stacey.
We just thought maybe they'd come out and join us in our little demonstration, the lovely Mr. and Mrs. Sloop, but I don't think that's going to happen, do you?
Probably not.
Yeah.
November 2014. Stephanie Sloop would also accept a plea deal that would remove the death penalty option, pleading guilty to aggravated murder and obstruction of justice. All the other charges were dropped. Stephanie Sloop cried during sentencing, blaming herself for failing to protect her son. Quote, "I was selfish when I brought Ethan into this world. I was selfish during his life and I was selfish in his death. I have no one to blame but myself and my selfish behaviour on Ethan's death." Unquote. Stephanie apologised to her ex-husband as well as law enforcement. Quote, "It shouldn't have gone this far. Ethan was an innocent child and I will carry his death with me for as long as I live." Unquote. Stephanie would admit to struggling with a prescription medication addiction at the time her son had been abused and killed. And this is why her judgment had been so severely diminished. "This is nothing but a self-serving speech, in my opinion. It is always easy to blame drugs or someone else's threats or abuse for their own problems. But a lot of people using drugs or in domestic violence situations don't murder their children. They fight to improve their environment for the well-being of their children. And I think the judge agreed with me, because Stephanie Sloop would be sentenced to 20 years to life imprisonment." In the aftermath of Ethan's murder, there was public demand for answers of how Ethan could have been sent to Utah, to which Judge Smith responded, "There was no indication Ethan was in any danger in his mother's custody. However, all that needed to have happened was a simple background check on Nathan. It would have been blindingly obvious that Ethan was not safe there." May 16, 2010. There was a candlelight vigil in Ethan's honour with more than 200 people in attendance. One of the neighbours, Ish, who organised the vigil, he spoke to the crowd for a round of applause. Quote, "Let us bring to light the huge epidemic of child abuse. Let this be a reminder to everyone." Unquote. Ish then reminded everyone that there are, quote, "lots of little ones, lots of little faces," unquote, that needed protection. And then May 24, 2010, 400 people gathered for a 10-mile walk for Ethan and other children like him, walking from the Sloop's apartment complex to Davis County Justice Centre, all in the hopes to bring awareness to child abuse and for those who can take action to stop this happening over and over again. And that's what we can do. Let our voices be heard and put pressure on lawmakers and authorities to protect our babies, to protect the vulnerable from harm and neglect. May 19, 2010. Funeral services were held for Ethan at the Grundy Funeral Home Chapel. He was then buried in the Clinch Valley Memorial Cemetery in Richlands, Virginia. Joe spoke about his son. The grief was palpable in his words. Joe described Ethan as just your typical fun-loving boy. He was incredibly smart and could achieve anything he set his mind to. He loved making people laugh and he was known for the funny faces he'd pull. He loved hugs and he always seemed happy. Ethan was obsessed with Transformers, but his favourite person was his dad. Joe lovingly remembered his son. He was the best boy you would ever meet. He really was. He was a very lovable child, and that's all he wanted, was to love on people all the time. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook. Like the page so you don't miss an episode. And join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. We are now on YouTube. 2 episodes a month where you'll get an exclusive video including photos, maps and news clips. We are still learning what we are doing, so please be kind. But we would appreciate it if you head on over and give our videos a like and subscribe to the channel. This all will allow me to share more of the stories you want to hear. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.